Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We're taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll have Corey Curtis from News 2 coming up at 8 o'clock. Get his thoughts on the Titans and the Chargers as well. So, Joe, we've talked a lot about the injuries this morning. They continue to pile up for the Titans. They continue to lead the league in injury so far this year, as they did last year. And I got to say, we've talked a lot on this show about the training staff and things going on there and what in the world's happening with the Titans and can you put any blame on the training staff and all that stuff. And we've talked about it several times. And to be fair, you look at the injuries, and again, it's not like it's just one consistent thing that you point to and you say, man, sure are a lot of hamstring issues the Titans are having, or man, sure are a lot of groin injuries that the Titans have out there. I mean, it's different things happening left and right. So the simple answer is, without having, you know, just all the answers, my guess is it's just really bad luck 2 years in a row. Like, that's kind of the way that I view it. But it's interesting. I was thinking about this yesterday. Like, going back to our Todd Downing discussion at offensive coordinator, I think if you're Mike Vrabel and things continue to go this way, you may believe that Todd Downing is a good coach. You may believe that Todd Downing could be a good offensive coordinator one day. But I said this a couple weeks ago. Like, at some point, the results are what they are, and you have to react according to the results. And I think that's where the Titans are with Todd Downing. I think that's where they need to be with Todd Downing after the season. And I would expect, if things continue to go the way that they're going right now, for somebody else other than Todd Downing to be the offensive coordinator next year. Like, I'll be honest, Joe, like, I'm starting to get there training staff-wise too. And again, I don't know how much you could point to and say it's their fault, but the results are what they are. 2 years in a row, you've led the league in injuries, and it's a problem every single week. And I mean every single week. They have players that are really important players that are getting hurt, that are out of the lineup, and maybe the answer is it's just as simple as bad luck, really bad luck, 2 years in a row. But like, at some point, going back to the Amy Adams Strunk part of this conversation too, asking those questions of why is this happening, like, at some point, you may just have to look at the results and react according to the information. And I'm starting to get there with the training staff conversation. I never thought I'd get there, but I'm starting to get there.
Yeah, well, look, you have to look at everything you're doing. It's interesting because I do feel like last year, when it was the first year, so it's 1 year of craziness, but I feel like the specific injuries last year spoke more to, okay, you need to do something differently, because I feel like there was more soft tissue stuff last year.
Yeah.
Remember last year was like the hamstring virus. I mean, it was crazy, right? I mean, if you want to go through specific stuff, let's see, Tannehill, you know, I mean, there's nothing you're going to do about his ankle. He messed it up on a play. And, like, anything that happens in the field of play, we see it. I mean, these things happen. Let's see, what's the injury this week? You got, you know, concussions. Okay, C.J. Board with a rib. Hilliard had the neck on just an awful, you know, like, brutally violent play. And, again, that to me, no. Autry, knee. Nate Davis, knee. Imani Hooker, knee. Simmons and Tannehill, the ankle. I mean, all these things are like, I don't know what you're supposed to do. The soft tissue stuff, though, you know, groin for Fulton, hamstring for Mitchell, and he had to leave the game again yesterday. Going through it. I'm just going through the specific Fulton, current injury, and Fulton has had groin
soft
and hamstring
tissue the whole year, yeah.
Yes. So, I don't know, I mean ultimately I think the question does need to be asked for sure, and everything needs to be looked at, everything you're doing. And again, I also think this goes to the guy who was fired in some cases, getting players, if not no regard for their injuries, certainly not worried about taking guys with injury histories. But I don't know how many of these guys even fall in that category. Some do. I mean, like, we know Caleb Farley falls into that category. We know Jeff Simmons falls in that category, and he's been durable, by the way. Are there some of these other guys that they've picked up who some teams would be more hesitant because they have injury histories? I don't know. In some cases, and some of these guys, I mean, in some cases with the Titans, it's like, wait, who is that? What number is he? Oh, Reed. Oh, that's right. The new guy Reed is out there, right? So, look, it's a totally fair conversation to have. I still would be surprised that, like, their medical staff is, like, deficient or not doing their jobs or not trying, but it's got to be totally frustrating. And like I said earlier, Amy Adams Strong, I'd be vetting every single thing about those people right now, even though I don't know that you're going to get a satisfying answer.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I'm trying to view it from her perspective, like looking around saying, okay, well, we can blame it on bad luck, and maybe that's the case. But it's 2 years in a row where you've just been totally decimated by injury on a weekly basis. Why is this happening, and why is it not happening to other teams to the same degree? Again, there probably isn't a great answer for it. I don't know what the answer is. I'm just trying to view it from her standpoint. Like, if I was owning the team, this would be a question that I'd spend a whole lot of time trying to figure out what in the world's going on out there, because it's pretty crazy what we've seen the last couple of years.
Yeah. David in Arkansas says, on the injury front, how does AJ stay hurt here? Goes to Philly, is able to stay healthy. Is that coincidence or what? And remember, it's his first season there. By the way, AJ Brown, 1,200 yards now,
yeah.
10 touchdowns, 16 a catch. So the 1,100-yard max in his career, crew, he's looking like he's going to be about 1,500 this year. Yeah, it's 1 year of him staying healthy. But you know, I get it. I understand bringing it up. I do. It is. It's bizarre. And then, some people have also brought up the style of play, and we've talked about that too, and I've kind of rejected that. I feel like you run the football. That's the only thing they do that's different than anybody else in the NFL. They don't hit harder on defense than any other team, right? I mean, they stop the run, they run the football. Yeah. So I don't – yeah, so we'll go to a friend of the show and assistant producer Tom Izzo.
Yes.
So I covered his program for a long time, and they've had over a long period of time a lot of stress fractures, which is a common basketball injury. But actually, I do think there's some correlation with how hard he wants his teams to play and how, you know, much he values like players working. I mean, I think there's some correlation with like their style and everything, and that injury being a little bit more frequent in that program than others. I just don't know how it would. I don't know how that would apply here. It's the NFL. Again, and if like to keep the things in perspective, they are the worst. They have the worst situation. And that's got to be taken seriously. But if you followed closely any other NFL team, it's not like you're seeing a lot of it's a brutally violent game.
Well, take the team they played yesterday, right? I mean, they're getting healthy now, but there were times earlier this season where you looked at the Chargers and like, man, they got a lot of injuries they're dealing with out there.
And Bosa and Derwin James, those guys are still standing on the sidelines yesterday too, you know. It's a tough question. Again, I just – it's hard for me to – and we've had this conversation before. This isn't proprietary like coaching is. You know, this is everybody in this league wants to help each other keep everybody healthy, you know. Like the information shared, the methods are pretty uniform across the board, pretty much, you know, the Hippocratic Oath. I mean, it's medical, you know, you're just trying to keep people healthy. So I think some of it has to do with the specific players they have in some cases, but bad luck, probably some of it. And hey, I look at everything for sure.
Yeah.
Look at everything they do. I don't disagree with that because it's, at this point, it's got to be beyond frustrating if you're in that building.
Brad and Franklin on the text line says, while I agree, these injuries seem to be somewhat random and the result of very bad luck. When I asked this question a month or two ago, it did not go well for me, and I was accused of trolling. It does intrigue me that our team has had such a significant problem with injuries now 2 years in a row. This is from Brad and Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
Were we the ones doing the trolling? We could have been.
Okay, a month or two ago? All right, I'm going to find your question.
We could have been.
Because, see, it depends on exactly how you phrased it, and it may have seemed more like trolling. I don't know. I'm looking back on this, and I'm not finding anything. I'm going to look at your whole history, Brad.
Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, Brad.
Appreciate your contribution to the program. All right, and look, I don't know what the Titans are going to do about this moving forward. Hopefully, like, the law of averages at some point breaks back their way. Like, next year, let's say you keep everything the way that it is. and like next year you're just having injuries left and right again? Like, what do you do at that point? I mean, there's 32 teams in the league. To be leading the league in injuries a couple years in a row is kind of ridiculous in its own right. If you start to have injury problems again next year, it's like, dude, what's going on here? It's kind of ridiculous, the spot that they're in injury-wise.
It is. It's incredible. It really is. And again, some like last year, two of the many who had hamstring, which again, I think last year, like the soft tissue, like it's got to be, okay, maybe there's something different you got to be doing. I think they've had less soft tissue stuff this year. They still have had plenty. They've had everything.
Yeah.
But again, if you have something where, like if Harold Landry plants weirdly and tears his ACL, it's not on anybody but bad luck. It's just not. And this happens across the league. So, I don't know. Austin from Clarksville. All right, fine. I'll read your text, Austin. Three in a row. And if Baby Leg could have made the field goal, we would have gone into OT. Austin really wants us to read Baby Leg on the air.
Yeah.
There you go, Austin.
Well, we talked
Never
about
heard
it earlier.
That one.
Yeah. We talked about it earlier. I mean, it's a problem that you can't rely on your field goal kicker once you get to about 49, 50, 51 yards. Like, that's a problem in the NFL.
Yeah,
he'll be able to make that kick.
They've got upgrade at kicker. I mean, he's stabilized things, but you need a really good kicker in this league if you want to do things. He's not good enough.
Brad has texted back in, has found his text. Said, is there any discussion or concern around the fact that we've had so many injuries the past couple of years? Is there a need to evaluate the overall fitness and care of the athletes? Honestly, I don't know and I'm curious. My guess is that probably came after a time where we were discussing this and he asked that question. I don't know.
Well, when I read that, that was a very level-headed way to ask the question.
It was, Brad.
And if I accuse you of trolling, I apologize.
We're sorry, Brad.
That was a nice question. That was fine.
615-737-1025. We'll have more on the Titans and Chargers coming up next, including an interesting question from Scott from Hopkinsville that I think is starting to become more popular of a question with Titans fans. We'll get to that coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. Titans fall yesterday 17-14. They've lost four in a row, dropped to 7-7 on the regular season. They'll take on the Houston Texans coming up on Saturday night at Nissan Stadium. And as has been pointed out on the text line, it'll be a cold one Saturday night at Nissan. Joe, looking forward to that. May get in the teens, single digits. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, let's see. So it is a noon game Saturday, right?
Yes, correct. Sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's going to be cold.
But regardless.
It's going to be about 18 degrees.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a high of 23 that day, a low of 9.
Yeah,
so the real hardy Titans fans are going to be, we're going to see.
We're going to see
how hardy you can be with a four-game losing streak, your team taking on the worst team in the NFL, at least by record. In absolutely Arctic conditions. Arctic for Nashville conditions.
On Christmas Eve.
So the people, this is going to be a test of fandom here. Absolutely.
Big test of fandom. So Scott from Hopkinsville on the text line says, blow it up, let all the big contracts go, start Malik Willis, be super bad next year, and get the quarterback of the future. It's time to retool with a new GM. Who's with me? This from Scott on the text line. And Scott is not alone in that thought. It's a very interesting thought that I've seen batted around really for the last couple of weeks on social media as to what should the Titans do? Should they run it back with the core that they've established and built up right now and continue to try to win and continue to try to compete in the AFC South, get back in the playoffs, all those things? Or should they embrace the tank, for lack of a better phrase, be bad next year, see what you have in Malik Willis, and if you don't like it, maybe you'll get the quarterback of the future in the draft. It's starting to become, Joe, I think, a more interesting question by the day with the Tennessee Titans.
Now, I've already trademarked, for those of you who missed it, although it was before 6 a.m. today on the show.
It was.
Bleep the Bedford Bedard for the Predators. Okay.
Yes.
Bleep the Bedford Bedard. What about May have to suck for May? How about that?
Wow.
May have to suck for May.
You're on one this morning. That's good.
We have weeks of talking about this.
Oh, man.
Okay?
Do we ever.
So, while we're in season, I don't think we should spend a ton of time on this. But look, I've had the same thought. In fact, the other day I went through all the teams in this league in a Word file and, you know, went through all the quarterbacks and how many teams. There's going to be, you know, three teams at least who address their quarterback situation this year. When you're talking, I think, in the first round, I think we're going to – well, so Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, and Will Levis, I think are all going to go in the first round. So there's three teams. And then Michelle will have to hide her eyes each Sunday as Will Levis proves he was
GM
a bad
fired.
Pick.
Yeah.
You guys just chill.
We'll see. I thought the same thing about Josh Allen.
You just love hating on him.
I just – not that hard to do. I just have my doubts.
Why?
I don't care if somebody wants to put mayo in their coffee. It kind of makes me sick. I just have my doubts about him being a good NFL quarterback, but we'll see. Regardless, there's three teams that are going to address it, and the two guys in 2024, Caleb Williams, Drake May. May have to suck for May. I got to come up with one for Caleb, so we'll see. We'll have to suck
for
Williams.
We'll have to suck for Williams. There you go. Yes, there we go.
May have to suck for May. We'll have to suck for Williams. Okay. Bleep the bed for Bedard. Good show today. But there aren't a ton of teams. It depends. There are some quarterback situations like Russ and Denver and Mac Jones. You know, there's some we don't know. But it could be actually kind of a small group of teams who would be vying for one of those two guys. So you could make the case, Malik Willis is your starter next year. You give him that year to just show what you got, and you are unofficially, unintentionally tanking. You know, if he doesn't make big steps, I think you're going to lose more than you win by a fair amount. And again, if you also move on from some of those big contracts, et cetera, you could still like sign Jeff Simmons long term and say, hey, it's going to be quick. We're going to be back quick. Because you can get back quick in the NFL.
You can.
If you do it right. But you could also make the case, you know, Derrick Henry, by the way, what's he at? Is he at 1,300 now? He's at 1,300 yards on the season. He's actually in the race with Josh Jacobs for the rushing title. He's got some room to make up, but he's got the Texans this week.
He does.
Derrick Henry's going to end up with about 1,600 yards this year. Ryan Tannehill, considering the conditions, I've been really impressed for the most part with him. He hasn't been perfect, but man, I don't think you can underrate how bad the conditions have been around him.
He's down the list of their problems right now, no question.
So you could make the case, no, one more year, the last year of the deals, you know, I know they get those void years, but the last year of their deals with Tannehill and Henry, and you get a left tackle, and you hope you get lucky on the health front, or you get a new training staff or whatever, and you could be good next year with them. How good, though?
That's the question. I mean, how good do you feel like you could be? I mean, if you upgrade the offensive line, if Treylon Burks continues to progress.
And you got to get another receiver there, too.
You got to get another receiver there, too. And there's no question about that. You know, how good do you think you can be? Now, regardless of what path you take or what scenario you throw out there, there's a whole lot of what if that factors in either way you want to go. I mean, the other question I would have, let's say you go this route and you decide, you know what? It's time to tear it down and rebuild it. Let's give Malik Willis a chance next year, and then if it doesn't go well, we'll get the quarterback of the future. Well, what would going well be for Malik Willis? Like, what would you have to see from Malik Willis to think about, okay, well, maybe there's something there that you could stick with? Because, like, to me, like, you would either need to know for sure for Malik Willis after next year or go get the other quarterback. Like, you can't be in limbo.
Yeah, I mean, to me, if you actually win when you were kind of intending to lose, that probably tells you something, right? Maybe you're like, well, Malik Willis screwed it all up. I guess you're the quarterback,
I guess
Malik.
So,
you know, it's kind of a great challenge for him, right? Here you go. Here's your opportunity. We don't think you're going to do well, and then he does really well. It's like, well, okay, maybe. To me, he'd have to be really, really good. And again, he's going to have to be really good for them to win enough, you know, for them to win. I mean, if he takes me to the playoffs, then it's like, okay, well, I guess it's the Malik Willis show then from now on. It's a fascinating fork in the road here for whoever is making personnel decisions.
Maybe a crossroads.
Ooh, so many crossroads.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
Chuck on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says the resurgence of the Jaguars going from the worst to climbing the ladder is an example of why you blow it up. They got a quarterback. They've got young, skilled players, and they're making moves while all these players are still on their rookie contracts. This is from Chuck on the text line.
Yeah. Look, they have the best future of the AFC South right now. Trevor Lawrence is becoming a really good player.
He's pretty darn good.
You know, yesterday they got the pick six in overtime and everything, and that was wild, and the Cowboys helped them. But Trevor Lawrence was engineering this epic drive, and he makes this crazy escape from a sack and a run. And look, he fumbles, and he made a mistake. He threw a pick earlier too. He's not perfect. Boy, you feel good about Trevor Lawrence if you're the Jags. Jacksonville should be excited, and they have a good coach. Doug Peterson's a good coach. So I agree.
And he rocks the visor.
I just wonder how good Trevor Lawrence would be right now if they didn't totally waste his rookie year with Urban Meyer. It's a fair question.
I know. Now, this season further casts, you know, anger on Urban Meyer for what happened last year. But, no, they have the best future. And I agree. That is the – I mean, that's – but it is not – it's also not easy. As hard as it is to, like, be great and be a real Super Bowl contender, it's also hard to go, like, 2-15.
It is.
You know? I mean, we talk about it in hockey, too. Bleep the bed for Bedard. Hashtag. You know, it's way easier, frankly. I mean, it is. It's easier to be in the middle. That's where it's all designed to be, and so it's easy to fall into that. And right now, both of these teams are kind of in that range. But remember, a year ago, the Titans were the one seed.
Well, there's so much that goes into this discussion. Like you said, a year ago, they're the one seed. You know, if healthy, I still believe they're a good football team. Now, how good are they? I don't know. I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender, but they're a good football team. The other part of this that would be interesting to think about, you know, we've talked about Vrabel a lot in this discussion. Well, what would his thoughts be if all of a sudden it's like, hey, yeah, man, we're going to have to rebuild. Like, we want to go through kind of a downturn next year, see what Malik's got, and if it's not good, we'll go draft another quarterback. Like, Vrabel on board with that?
Call from Columbus. Ding, ding, ding. Here comes the bat signal. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think if you're Vrabel and you think you might be able to get Drake May or Caleb Williams, you know, but it's a great question. It is. There's a lot to this that's really fascinating.
Megan on the text line says, suck today to draft May. I like that.
Oh, okay.
Lose for Levis?
Well, that's already – I think they've already ruined that.
Lose with Levis?
By the way.
Sorry.
I thought about this the other day as I was watching the Indianapolis Colts complete – the greatest meltdown in the history of the National Football League.
That was insane.
Like, we haven't talked about that yet.
Yeah, what a display that was. What if they end up with Will Levis? It'd be so. Will Levis and they keep Jeff Saturday as a coach?
Oh, my gosh. Levis and Saturday. What a take over the league.
Guys, so I was watching that game, and it was 30-0, and I took a nap, and then I woke up, and I had to, like, open my eyes again. I was like, what the heck just happened? Yeah. And the score's tied.
Incredible. Captain Kirk.
It was amazing.
Hey, real quick. Well, you know what? I'll save. I have one strong thing that maybe people aren't thinking about in favor of not blowing it up, but we can talk about that next.
We'll get to that. We'll also get to what a time it is right now to be a professional sports fan in this city watching the Titans and the Predators play. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Preds fans, hang out before the Preds games at the Superbook Lounge in Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville on Broadway with 102.5, 106.3 the game. You can place your bets with Superbook and enjoy great food and drink specials, plus enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Preds back in action tonight, taking on the Edmonton Oilers. We'll get a little bit more into that here in just a second. But having a discussion about the fork in the road, the crossroads, whatever you want to call it, with the Tennessee Titans. And Joe, you've got a case for maybe not blowing it up and keeping things together.
Just one thing to keep in mind when you talk about what next year's team could be. And anybody who says, yeah, great, if they're healthy, why would I expect that? I can't argue really with you. But at some point, you hope the people who are on the team play in the football games.
Well, hopefully so.
But let's remember that Landry comes back next year. So I still feel like, yeah, I think this year we had a chance to see a ridiculous pass rush with all those guys, Autry, Landry, Simmons, Dupree. And again, Dupree, Yeah.
May not be back next year.
Right. Yes. But imagine Landry, the way he played last year in that place with Autry and Simmons.
Yeah.
I mean, and Long. I mean, there's like they could have a really good defense. I feel like I think Cunningham won't be back. So, you know, is Monty Rice ready to step in? That's why you draft guys like that. I don't know. But maybe another corner. Keep getting those corners. But Molden should be back. And I know it's like a washout year for him, and so you basically forget about him or dismiss him. I still believe he can be a good football player in the NFL. He's had this terrible injury that's dogged him all year long. So I'm just saying to make the case for one more year with Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill in this defense, if you actually upgrade on the offensive line, upgrade, I think, at kicker, at receiver – you could be pretty good. I'm not saying you can be Super Bowl winning good, but certainly you could be like a double-digit winning team next year. Is that appealing to Titans fans? Right now, it probably sounds better to blow things up. But I don't think it's a clear-cut decision.
Yeah, it's an interesting decision on a lot of fronts right now with the Titans. Quite frankly, Joe, it's a very interesting time to be a sports fan in this city right now with the way things are going. With the Titans, they've lost four games in a row, and they look like they are – on a nosedive right now and have a chance to miss the playoffs after at one point they were 7-3 in one of the worst divisions in the NFL, the NFC South right there with them, because they continue to be pretty bad. I mean, look, the Bucs are 6-8 and they're leading the division right now in the NFC South.
Their cheeks.
Sounds pretty bad over there on the other side of things in the NFC, but it's bad division and the Titans now are in legitimate danger of maybe missing out on the playoffs. And then on the other side of things, you've got the Nashville Predators, who have lost five in a row overall, and you look at their week last week, it was just brutal. I mean, and you scored, I think, what was it, a combined five goals in four games last week. Got shut out against St. Louis, one goal against Colorado, one goal against Winnipeg. You scored three in a game you gave up six against Edmonton, and they just feel like they're reeling right now. And, yeah, by the way, it is six in a row. My bad, not five in a row that they've lost. Six in a row overall that they've lost.
Oh, yeah.
You know, by the way,
it's hard to keep track.
It's hard to keep track. By the way, Edmonton's coming back in there tonight. Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, we know how that's gone for the Predators as of late. So it is a very rough time to be a professional sports fan right now. We've gotten a lot of thoughts on that on the text line today, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I mean, lots of thoughts on the Titans struggles, obviously. Lots of thoughts on the Predators' struggles as well. Keith from Bowling Green on the text line says, I'm a Titans fan, a Predators fan, and a UK fan. Do I have a future or am I a curse? This is from Keith from Bowling Green on the text line. There's a lot of that so far today.
Kentucky will be fine, Keith, I promise you. Okay?
They're probably the least of the concerns out of those three at the moment. I would agree
yes.
with that.
So
what do you do right now if you're a lot of crossover fans in this city, Titans fans and Preds fans together? It's a tough time to be right now. Who are you feeling better about right now if you're a Titans and or Preds fan combo? I'd still lean Titans, but man, it's bad.
I think Titans. Look, we just talked. The Titans are in a league where you can do things quickly. I mean, that's just so. I think clearly Titans, because as disappointing as this has been, first of all, they still I think are still going to win the division this year. That may not be much solace to people. I think they can win the division this year and still have a chance to win a playoff game. And the Preds, I don't know where, I don't know how you get out of it. I mean, you have to bleep the bed for Bedard.
Might have to.
You know, again, the Preds are, I know that they're getting some people back healthy. I think we'll find that out today. Maybe McDonough back. And it's not over, but what's not over is trying to leak into the playoffs and kind of have the same sort of outlook.
Yeah,
that's like the ceiling, right? And that's just, they're in the middle and it's a bad place to be, and they've got to make changes. It's still incredible to me that the massive change was made with the Titans and not the Preds. So I think it's a much like the outlook for the Titans, there's still things you can do. I don't know what the Preds do.
I don't,
because you're not going to convince these players to stop competing, of course, and they shouldn't. So they're going to keep trying, and I wouldn't be surprised if they turn around at some point this season and get themselves back into the fringe of the playoff race, Because, I mean, look, like you've said many times, half the league makes the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, to not be in the playoff race at all means you are awful. And they're not awful, but they're not good. And they're declining, and a lot of guys are declining. And it's just a bad, bad place to be.
Well, they're 12-13-4. You know, they scored one against Colorado the other night. Their power play's awful. Like, it's honestly getting to the point offensively with them where I don't really know what else to talk about right now. I mean, we've kind of gone through it all. The power play sucks. Their 5-on-5 offense is not good. And they've got players that are getting paid a lot of money. I mean, Ryan Johansson the other night took another penalty and basically got demoted to the fourth line after he did it. I mean, he had at one point, I think it was like 15 minutes into the third period of the other night, he had three shifts in the third period. Like, they've resorted back to that stuff. Their offense is just totally inept right now. And like I said, they play Edmonton tonight where, look, I'm not saying that they can't beat Edmonton because it's the NHL. They can beat Edmonton. I think Anaheim just beat Edmonton the other night.
They did. So
it's not like you can't do it. Just the recent body of work would suggest to me they have zero answer whatsoever for Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. So if you win this game tonight, I mean, you're probably going to have to score four. Five?
Yeah. Four.
Somewhere in that neighborhood.
If you have a really good night of trying to corral those guys, then four will do it. But you have to have a really good night.
I realize Edmonton at times is cheeks defensively and in goal. But how much confidence you got in the Predators scoring four goals against anybody right now? My answer is not much. So that's the other thing. Like, it's one thing to be bad, and they're trending towards being bad right now with the way that they've played lately. But with them and the Titans, just like offensively, It's really tough to watch both those teams offensively right now. There's zero excitement to it whatsoever outside of basically Derrick Henry. Like, I can't think of anybody on the Predators right now that's all that exciting offensively. And I would include Yossi in that discussion.
Yeah. I mean, Yossi's still fun to watch. Forsberg can be fun to watch, but it seems like it's, you know, little brief bursts here and there.
Yeah.
You know? It's not
very brief.
Yeah. So It's a tough watch, man. Johnny, points out, the Oilers lost to the Ducks, so they're ticked off. And he also talks about a ticked-off Blackhawks team who got embarrassed with their own. I don't know if that matters, Johnny. They suck. But, hey, Johnny's going 8 losses in a row. He's got them losing to the Blackhawks, too. So, if that is the case, you do start to wonder.
Yeah.
Does ownership, you know, plan to do anything ever?
I mean, it's a good question. And Ronnie in Columbia says, this Preds team is exhausting. It's time for a big change. Tired of fringe playoff hockey. I said it last week, and I'll say it again. This fan base is really mad. Our Predators fans are really mad right now. Like, my Twitter mentions after the game are a very interesting place now on a game-by-game basis. There are some mad Predators fans. But honestly, Joe, the thing that worries you more than that is I feel like there is starting to become some that you're just like, all right, well, wake me up when you decide to make some changes of some sort. I'll be back then. And I heard from some of those over the weekend, and that's not where you want to be. And to that point, you brought up the Titans-Texans game on Saturday. The Titans are 7-7, still with a chance to win the division. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think that crowd's going to look very good on Saturday coming up against the Texans. Weather's part of it, but the way they played's a part of it too. I think you got a chance to have a pretty sparse crowd on Saturday against Houston.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's absolutely the diehards are going to be out. And I get it, you know. It's for both these fans, and I'm with you. I've heard that from a lot of Preds fans too. Kind of like, it's just, you know, this is enough already. I mean, Matt says, as heartbreaking as it is to watch, I'm just hoping it will galvanize this fan base into realizing David Poile has been old news for about 5 years now. It's laughable. We have the same GM after 25 years of mediocrity. Matt from Norfolk. We don't have time to get in the entire Poile conversation. But, you know, it's this. It's funny, too, because last year at the end when people were upset and they went down, the Preds brought up the whole, I don't remember you guys picking us to go to the playoffs. Which, look, people got mad at that.
You did.
Well, I did, of course. I'm typically right about things, right?
That's right.
I don't think there's any evidence otherwise, is there, out there on the interwebs? But this year, you know, we can flip that around because we all picked the Preds to be better, to be pretty good, to actually be – I thought they could be the second-best team in the West. So, first of all, let's go ahead and acknowledge how stupid we are. Or at least – I mean, I'll just keep that to myself.
No, we can go we.
You think we? Okay, you want to join me in that? All right. But also, that's certainly not anything that those guys can talk about now, because we all were wrong. They're actually way worse than we thought they'd be. And I don't know where it's headed, but both of these fan bases are sick of it. And I don't blame them at all.
Nope. Don't blame them one bit. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745 on the program. We'll get to that coming up next. But first, Michelle Knezovic has a word from Superbook Sportsbook.
Yes, I do. Thank you, Robbie. We've got a little Monday Night Football action tonight. I know Robbie's excited for this one. We got the L.A. Rams and the Green Bay Packers in Green Bay tonight. Listen, I just checked the weather for that game. The high is about 20, 80% chance of snow. So it's going to be a doozy. So my first option for you is, if you're picking the over or the under, I would say go under. And the Packers are favored by 7 points. Listen, I think that is a lot considering, you know, the weather conditions right now. And listen, maybe Baker Mayfield has another great game with the Rams. So give me the L.A. Rams plus the 7. But Superbook is going to help you make your parlays pop this holiday season by giving you a little extra money with their weekly parlay bonus from Superbook Sports. So if you place a 3-team football parlay, Superbook will give you a $10 bonus voucher. It's your holiday bonus courtesy of Superbook Sports. So I already gave you that game. Next up, we've got the Jacksonville Jaguars and the New York Jets coming up this Thursday. I'm going to take the Jags plus the 1. They're on a roll right now, and Trevor Lawrence is really figuring things out at that QB position. And then also on the 22nd, we've got the Falcons and the Ravens. I'm going to take the Falcons plus the 7. So rack up the wins and earn some holiday cash by betting parlays with Superbook. Download the Superbook Tennessee app and place your parlays today. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
The Lions.
Oh my gosh.
You got the Lions.
I got the Lions.
You guys both have the Lions making the playoffs?
Yes.
Playoffs?
I know it sounds far-fetched. I know it does, Willie.
Okay.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. And Joe, before you get to your rant, I will say, getting closer to maybe the Lions being in the playoffs. We'll owe the big apology then. We made fun of that a lot.
They've got games against three teams with losing records, including the Bears and the Packers. Bears, Packers, Panthers. I want you all to know that when they look like they are actually going to get this done and they blow it, I am going to cackle for 4 straight hours. I'm just going to come in here the next day and go, so I want you to be ready because it's happening. Because I've seen this movie my entire life.
I'm looking forward to it.
They ruined my childhood, and I'm going to laugh at them when they do it to other children coming up soon.
Yes. The floor is yours.
Thank you. Yeah. By the way, someone, who is this? I got to give credit to this on Twitter here because I tweeted out #.
It's Rob from Clarksville.
Is that Rob for? That's Rob Denson. Is Rob from Clarksville? Oh, yeah. Who is in our fantasy league too? By the way, #. Bleep the bed for Bedard. #. May have to stink for May or suck for May. I tweeted out stink. I just felt like it sounded a little classier. We'll have to suck for Williams. We can say suck on the radio, right? Twitter is a much classier place, as we all know.
Yes.
But he also had Meltdown for Milton. Mm-hmm. Meltdown for Milton.
Didn't think about that one, did you?
Oh, boy.
Can't wait.
Get excited. I want to talk today a little bit about soccer for my rant.
Okay.
I will say that I missed the first few minutes of France-Argentina, and then I watched the rest of the match, and it was one of the greatest sports games I've ever watched in my life. It really was. It was incredible. It was so freaking good. The second Argentina goal, If anybody, you know, I'm sure people who saw it know what I'm talking about. If not, look up, just find that goal. Like, that was like, oh my God, okay, that's why they call it the beautiful game, right? Like, it was fantastic. But the second Mbappe goal that tied it up, that's like, I don't know. I mean, it's, I mean, compare it to Jordan in his greatest moment, or, you know, whatever, you know, find your favorite athlete in whatever sport doing some ridiculous, like, top of the sport, making just a ridiculous play. Like, it was amazing. Then it ends up coming all the way down to Argentina, and Messi wins, and he goes out on top and all this stuff. So I got to say, I'm not going to be someone who adopts a Premier League team. I'm not a huge constant soccer watcher. I have been a soccer parent, so that's why I learned about offsides. Some people still don't get it. I can help explain it to you if you need me to. But the World Cup is special.
Sometimes.
What's that?
It is.
There are times they're like, wait, that? I still, yeah. But the World Cup, it was incredible. And I think that, I think maybe some new soccer fans were created. So I just want to acknowledge that. Also, I'd like to say to our friend Steve Cavendish, who tweeted at me about, well, no, hold on. Let me find the.
No, it wasn't a tweet at you. It was a general tweet.
No, I tweeted at him.
Yes.
Yes.
You're the instigator.
Yes.
You felt attacked.
Yeah, exactly. I saw the tweet and I said, I feel attacked. But I want to read the tweet because this is, Steve is a huge soccer guy. Here we go. Here we go. Steve's tweet says, can't wait for all of Nashville Sports Talk Radio to spend all day talking about dead-ass Preds and Titans teams tomorrow instead of this World Cup final. And then I tweeted at him, I feel attacked, and he said, you know, you can help the problem or whatever. Hey, Steve, I want you to know that it was an amazing game. We've talked about it now. If we spent this entire show talking about the World Cup final, we'd probably be fired today.
Yes.
Okay? So
We should be.
Let's also yes. live in the real world.
Let's do that.
However, it was amazing, and I want to acknowledge that. And I'm very excited about World Cup. I wish it was in Nashville. I wish Nashville got it. It's still a crushing defeat, honestly. It would have been absolutely amazing to have World Cup here. But I'm excited about World Cup 2026 in the United States.
We need the United States to make a deep run. If you really want to get people invested, you need the United States to make a deep run.
Yeah, and I think with some of their young talent, I mean Pulisic is a special player. They've got some talent that I actually think, you know, obviously they got to the knockout round this time. I think that they could get, I don't know, you know, I don't think they can get a deep run. I'd be surprised by that, but
I would too.
Get to the 8, get to the 4, get to the 8, I think it's possible. And that to me is
that qualifies.
That would get people excited. Yeah. So there you go. A segment about soccer, Steve yeah. Cavendish. I hope you enjoyed it.
Or yep. Watch the women's team because they'll make it far.
Well, yes.
Could do that.
Well, you know, well, they will. Yeah. Yes. They are the much better performing of the two teams. But no, it was fantastic. I got to say, I always watch the World Cup. I'm a World Cup watcher. I think there's a lot of people who are probably in that category. But I have not been gripped by not just soccer, but like many games. I mean, this weekend we had the freaking Colts 33-0, the biggest comeback in NFL history.
It really was a great sports weekend.
We had maybe the worst decision on a lateral play
ever
for a Belichick team to lose that game. What a weekend.
No, it honestly was a great sports weekend. And the problem is Titans and Predators played too. It wasn't good on their front. Like, there was so much awesome stuff that happened this weekend in the world of sports, and the Titans and the Predators and their offenses specifically just put all that right in the toilet.
I mean, Steve, I mean, if these teams are bad, we're supposed to stop talking about them. We talk about them even more when they're bad. We love to complain.
We do. Big time complainers.
Hey, Silver Mountain on Twitter. Ready?
Yeah.
Titans looked fine yesterday. Tough game, but they lost a tough game, and I'm thankful for how well they played. Thank you.
So we found
finally. Thank you, Silver Mountain.
Finally found Rex Rhodes' burner account. Only took like 3 years, but we found his burner account on Twitter.
At T-Bones37172. Right. It's a good burner.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and the Chargers and the current state of the professional sports teams currently playing in this city as well. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.